welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
There are so many ways to get the Word of God and take it with you on any level. Am I right? No excuse not to. But just to have it is not enough. We've got to go ahead and what? Use it. If we've got faith, we've got to start using it. If I put a deposit in your checking account and you don't pay a bill, you say, why don't you pay the bill? Well, I didn't make the check out. So what do we have to do? We've got to release what's already there by faith. Remember the story I told you years ago? Maybe this will help you. I don't want to be repetitious. But there was a man homeless on the street, walking down the street, and he met another gentleman coming the other way, very well-dressed. How many remember this story? This may help some of you out. And they started talking and realized they were classmates in college. This guy didn't go so well. This other guy was the president of a corporation. So he said, you know what? What are you doing? I said, I'm homeless. I don't have a job. He says, you do now. He gave him a check for $500. He said, go down to my bank. Cash it. Go get yourself some nice clothes. Here's my business address. Come and see me tomorrow. I'm going to give you a job. Mm-hmm. How many of you know people hit rough times? Mm-hmm. So he got to the front door of the bank. He saw the guard there. He saw the kinds of people coming in and out dressed in nice clothes. He had these raggedy clothes on. And he made a decision then. I can't go in there dressed like I am to cash this check. They'll probably tell me to get out. So a month or so later, he's walking down the street. Guess who he runs into? Here's his friend again. He said, whatever happened to you, John? He said, Jerry, I went to your bank and I was going to cash the check, but I saw how nice everybody was dressed. It was first class. They had guards. And I didn't think I belonged in there. And the man looked and said, it's not what you look like. It's who signed the check. It's not what you and I look like. It's what Jesus has already done for us that allows us to make a withdrawal on the Word of God, knowing that it's already there, but by faith we speak it out of our mouth. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Are you getting this in your spirit? Yes. All right. Now go over, if you don't mind, go to 2 Kings 4. Verse 32, when Elisha arrived in the house, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. So he went in, shut the door on the two of them. Now here we go, another shut door. Remember when Jesus went in to pray for the little girl? And all the professional mourners were there. And what did Jesus do? He threw him out. Let's take a look at the 34th verse, all right? He went up and laid on the child, put his mouth in his mouth, his eyes in his eyes, his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself on and embraced him, a child's flesh became warm. Here you go now. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up again, stretched himself on him, and the child sneezed how many times? What's number seven mean? Number of what? Completion. And then he opened his eyes. Well, Pastor, why didn't it happen when he laid his staff on him? Did the prophet make a mistake? I don't have an answer for you. All I know, it's like the blind man in the Bible, and they're going back and forth. Well, is it because of his parents? Is that the reason that he's not this? And I don't care. Now I can see is what matters. I don't care what happened and how. All I know is the man of God came. He laid himself as the word upon him. And then he began to walk around and laid himself on him again. And then what? The boy sneezed seven times and he what? Came back to life. Remember the prophet in the Old Testament? He told somebody to go dip himself somewhere. Who was that? Who remembers? Naaman. Go dip yourself in that dirty watered hole over there. Into a dirt. And what happened on the seventh dip? Say what? His skin was cleansed of leprosy. When Jesus put mud on the blind man's eyes, then he told him to do what? Walk across town into a certain pool, wash your eyes out. Now, how foolish is it to take and put mud on a blind man's eyes? Why didn't he just tell him to go across town? I don't know, and I really don't care. All I know is the end results are his eyes were open. I believe his obedience is what did it. He had faith and his obedience to do what Jesus said. Listen, it's not always, and I can tell you from being a pastor all these years, most times, 9 times out of 9 and 10 times out of 10, it makes no sense to me at all. But that's always a guideline for me to do what God said to do. Because if I try to understand it, can I tell you what will happen? I'll spoil it. I'll mess it all up. But if we will just do it by faith and obedience to his word, say faith, is not based on what God might do. It's what he's already. When I was growing up in our church years ago and somebody gets sick or somebody dies, they say, well, it must be the will of God. And I was only a little guy. I still didn't understand it back then. No, it's not the will of God. There's no scripture verse to support that. There's scripture to support God said that he's the one that says, now it's time to go, now it's time to come. He's the one that talks about he healed them all. I'll go to the word of God and draw out a scripture verse that fits that circumstance. I'm going to believe that God, even if you're breathing your last breath and you give it up, I may call you back to life again. Smith Wigglesworth did that just a few years ago before he passed. Not too long ago, back in the 40s, his wife was dead and he called her back to life, stood her up against the wall. And guess what she said when she woke up out of death? Smith, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'm in heaven. Just leave me alone. He called her back. He raised I don't know how many people from the dead. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Happens all the time overseas. People are raised from the dead on a regular basis. Eyeballs where there is no eye socket, all of a sudden they show up. People come with no limbs and their arms and their legs grow out. Why not here in America? Why not in Harvest Church? Why isn't it that Harvest Church isn't known for the wheelchairs and walkers that are put upon the wall? Because this is a healing place. It's a place that God can do his miracles. Amen. I want to see that happen. I don't care what kind of paint's on the walls. I'd rather care that there's crutches somebody used to use, glasses that somebody doesn't need anymore. That's what I'd like to decorate the walls of this church with. But I need you and your faith to believe God when we pray for somebody, something supernatural is about to happen. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now go back to 2 Chronicles. How many of you like that story there? Amen. All right. Now, verse 15, that's the 20th chapter, right? He said, hearken, all Judea, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says to you, be not afraid. Say this with me. Be not afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Whenever somebody says something to you that's more than you and I could bear, it doesn't belong to us. It already belongs to Jesus. When somebody says, I hear you have this disease on you. No, I don't. I gave it to Jesus. Then they want to send you to the psych ward because you're not talking straight. No, you're not talking straight. I'm talking about what the word says. He's already took what? My sicknesses and diseases and placed them on himself. Amen. Say what the word says. Say with me. Say what the word says.
Say what the word says.
Say, now I have it.
Now.
It's already done. Well, it doesn't feel like it. Well, there's doubt and unbelief. You just killed the thing. Say what God. You don't go by how you feel. You don't go by what it looks like. You go by the fact that Jesus has already done it. It's the word of God. And if he said it, it will come to pass for us, but it's already a done deal. Say it's a done deal. It's already, say it's already done. If God has promised us something in his word, it's because it's already done. Say it's already done. Say it again. It's already done. But when you and I say the problem and rehearse the problem with ourselves, because what comes out of our mouth and because other people are saying, oh, what are you going to do now? I already told you what I'm doing. All is well. This woman never gave in and never said her son was dead. The only that he was what? All's well. Say all's well. Why was all well? Because she was well on the inside of her, because she knew if she got to the word or she got to the prophet, everything would be fine. Remember when Jesus prayed for the blind, and then when he took his hands off of them, they said, well, I can see, like, look like men are like trees. Oh, Jesus is a failure. How come Jesus couldn't pull it off the first time? When you get to heaven, you can ask him, I really don't care. All I know is when he did it the second time, they could see.
Amen.
For some reason, there's this private detective group inside the church. All I want to do is thank God and lift my hands and begin to praise him and thank him for everything he's done, he's doing right now, and he's already done for my tomorrow. Somebody help me out.
Amen.
Don't just give God a praise offering. My, my, my. My, my, my. Say this with me. Faith is now. It's not when I see it or when I feel it. And say this with me. Faith is always born out of the evidence of the word of God. Always.
Always.
Say it again. Always.
Always.
Now, how do we connect with faith? Say my prayer,
my prayer.
My confession, my actions, my praise. We bring faith to a place where we can believe God for anything. Say, believe him for anything. All right, good. Now, go to 2 Timothy. But I want to show you something that Paul said to Timothy. It's one of the pastoral epistles. Go to the 4th chapter, 2 Timothy. Are you ready? This is my job. Say, this is your job, preacher. Look at the second verse. Herald and preach the word. Exclamation point. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting and warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching for the time. Look at the third verse here. This is where we are. Paul was going through it. And let me tell you something. Before Christ returns, we're right back there again. Listen. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate and endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying. Remember I told you Sunday? Some Christians come and they date on Sunday morning and then go live like they're having an affair with somebody else all week long. Yeah. Then they come back on Sunday morning and they say the name of Jesus and they're having a date with him for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. People will not endure wholesome instruction, having itching ears, looking for something pleasing and gratifying. They'll gather to themselves one teacher after another to considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth, wander off into myths and man-made fictions. As for you, be calm, say calm, cool, steady, accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of an evangelist, fully perform all the duties of your ministry. That's why I'm here preaching week after week, teaching week after week, because I'm called, there's a call on my life, my wife has the same call, is to preach the truth of God's word, unadulterated word of God. I can't let something else in. I can't let something get in that will ruin what God's word says. I won't. I won't compromise the word to make a few people happy. Years ago, when we were looking for a church, I went out to Michigan, flew out and a beautiful, beautiful church, just built the church. The pastor had a heart attack, couldn't continue. House, beautiful house, car, nice salary, everything. I got up and preached my heart out. People got saved Sunday morning. I said, boy, called my wife, this is the place. Glory to God, hallelujah, I finally found a place. And then I remember talking to the head of the pulpit committee. As soon as you find out what that is, let me know. And I said to the person, nice people, wonderful people, I'm sure they still are. I said, would you mind if I came off from behind the pulpit and stood down in front and preached from in front of the seats or the chairs? You would have think I hit the guy in the side of the head with a 2x4. But here's where his, listen to his words. Listen now. We don't do that kind of stuff around here. As soon as they said that, I had my answer, because if they wouldn't let me stand in front of the church instead of behind the pulpit, what else wouldn't they let me do? As long as I'm preaching the truth of God's word, trying to get you and I to change and see what God's word says about everything in life, I'm cool, I'm fine. I'm gonna keep doing it in season and out of season. Whether there's 200 or 2,000, I don't care how many people are here. All I know is hungry hearts show up and hungry hearts wind up filled and then go around and change the world in Jesus' name, amen?
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive.